Oh, good.
So we're just going to start going. I'm just going to talk a little bit just to introduce the rest of those that are joining right now. But the Jack and Nicole show is usually hosted in a live recording studio that is temporarily unavailable tonight. So we are using our Facebook technology to do a split screen between me and Heather on a Facebook Live video. And this is also being live recorded through Central City Radio's King FM, the online podcast. And so if any of you guys missed tonight's show, the podcast will be up later this evening for you guys to listen to the full podcast. But a little bit about Nicole originally started as an online blog, and that blog was to encourage women in fitness, health, and
Oh,
And after the blog was started, I got this amazing opportunity to have a radio show. And the radio show is really just to encourage women, like I was talking about before. I do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of my faith. I love to present him in a way that is an invitation to women to find out what does it look like to have faith in Jesus, especially when we face hardships and trials. And, when we face things that in our worst dreams or nightmares, we would never have guessed that we would walk through. And I want to give anyone out there listening tonight hope that if you feel alone, like to talk about it. I want to bring hope to women tonight with my guests that no matter what happens in our lives, that there is always hope and hope in Jesus. And we just invite you tonight, regardless of what you believe, race, background, political view, it doesn't matter. We welcome all of you. So I didn't want to repeat too much of what we were already talking about before. My guest tonight has such an incredible testimony for her family. She's so successful and just inspires so many women through her testimony, through her story, and her vivacious love of life, and she just represents it so well. So I want to bring to the show tonight Heather Ratliff. How are you doing now that we are finally live?
yay, I'm great. I'm getting a little nervous now that we're waiting, but I'm ready, girl.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into this. If there's anybody that is listening that doesn't know who you are, which I'm sure a lot of, the people tuning in already know, is your little mini bio. Like, what do you like to do?
Okay. Well, first off, I am a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace. So my identity is in Christ. That's what I always want to say first. And I'm also a wife of my best friend. His name is Justin. And I have two children. One is three and one is one. And they're Sage and Raya, a boy and a girl. They're the light of my life. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom. But I went to occupational therapy school, got my doctorate in 2011, and then I worked for about 3 years and then had my son and decided that I wanted to stay at home with him. Felt like that was something that God would like me to do. And so I quit occupational therapy temporarily. I'll probably go back when they go to school, to stay at home and raise my kids. And in the meantime, I kind of fell up in this makeup business. I did not know anything about makeup at all. So it's kind of funny how God just totally orchestrated everything. And so I joined thinking I just wanted the discount because I've always loved makeup. And then I made a business of it. And it ended up just being such a huge blessing because I had been praying that God would bring something into my life and use me to impact others and to glorify Him above all. And so it's just amazing how God has really used this business and just my journey through life, the hardships that I've been through to care. And so yeah, that's basically where I'm at today. And then I can just share my story. That's like a very quick bio.
No,
Is that
that's perfect. I love it. That's exactly how I met Heather, was actually through Facebook. She has a mutual friend of mine. Her name's Alexis Kenny. And I found her on Facebook and I just was so inspired by her posts. I think that if you can inspire people without words in person, but just by your posts on Facebook, on social media. I think that speaks volumes to who you are. And I was so encouraged. And when I did hear you share your testimony a few months ago on Facebook Live, but we were talking about when other women feel like they're not alone and some of these struggles, it brings hope to them. And I feel like it removes the veil of shame off and helps them walk in and worth of who Jesus made them.
Absolutely. So
if you are feeling brave enough to share with our viewers your testimony, I know it's a little bit heavy, but it has just brought some hope to everyone listening. And I will give free range to talk about it and, you know, chime in later when we...
I'll probably keep that. So, okay, I'm trying to think where to start. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are very strong believers. They were also raised in strong Christian homes. And so I'm very familiar with the gospel and I'm very familiar with the church and Jesus. I'm very aware of who he is. And before I even get started, the goal in doing this is to glorify God. Like, that is above beyond. I'm going to share a lot out of my life, but this is not for my own glory. This is started pulling out my eyebrows and eyelashes, and I did not have a clue why. I was 5 years old, and it was very confusing for me for the fact that I couldn't put words into words why I was doing it. It was very noticeable not having any eyebrows and eyelashes. And at that age, it's very challenging too, because you don't really have a whole lot of self-esteem yet. And my parents were confused. My parents were frustrated. They couldn't figure out what's wrong with me because I had no eyebrows and eyelashes. And I remember growing up and just being devastated, feeling like I was just so ugly, very ashamed, avoiding eye contact, avoiding people, social situations, because I was so ashamed. I hated how I looked. It was very discouraging. That I couldn't figure out why I was doing it. Little did I know, I actually had a disorder, and it's called trichotillomania. I did not figure out senior school. And the only reason I found out was because another girl had the same thing in my hometown. And her parents had done a lot of research, and they had figured out that it was actually a disorder, and that they actually contacted me, not to be like, oh, you have the same thing as our daughter, but to... They told me that they wanted to help her conceal it as well as I had been able to conceal it. So by this point in my life, by my senior year in high school, I had gotten pretty good at hiding it, concealing it with makeup. And one of the things I remember just growing up was learning how to keep my hair down and always on the side of my face so that people couldn't see from the side of my profile even where there was no eyelashes, because I was so ashamed of it. Very, very hard for me. I wanted to fit in so bad that I was willing to do anything really to fit in. And I was always a nice person. But that almost made it worse. And so, the bullying is real, and I definitely found myself falling into like a pretty deep depression almost, I would say. I was a pretty happy, bubbly person, but on the inside, I was always like really, really sad, because I felt like people were constantly talking about me. I was left out a lot, and high school was miserable for me. Couldn't pay me in a way that were not perfect, but in high school, it's different. You don't want to talk about your imperfections or people to know that you have your imperfections, right? So I feel like that insecurity definitely played a part in the relationships that I got involved in. And take a second. So about my junior year of high school, I got involved in a very negative relationship. I made a bad decision to be in that relationship. I was 7, just put that out there right now. I was very sheltered. I was very naive. I was the girl that, I knew that Christ had saved me and Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I needed him and I needed forgiveness in my life. I knew I wasn't perfect. So I had accepted Christ into my life as a very young girl. But I kind of started to fall away from that a little bit. And then by the time I was in a relationship, I was very unequally yoked in that dating relationship. And I was very well taken advantage of. One night I had taken him to, sorry, I'm trying to like look, but I keep flicking down. I had taken him to town. He wanted me to drive a date. And the date I actually ended up paying for. And it's just, that's kind of how it started, where it was kind of like iffy. And then he wanted to go meet up with some friends, which turned out they were all drinking. And I was very active in sports in high school. I was very active in sports. I got all A's. I probably the goody two shoes. I mean, I didn't ever get in trouble. I was always home by curfew. So anyway, when I was around drinking, I didn't really know what to do because I hadn't really been exposed to it. And I had always wanted to be a virgin until I got married. And so I had boyfriends before, and I'd made that very clear to them that that was my house, which I live a long ways in the country, like 30 minutes. And so we were about 5 minutes from my house, and he had asked me to pull over because he had to go to use the restroom. And so I pulled over and I was like, hurry it up. I'm going to be late for curfew. And I get stressed out about that because I knew my parents were very strict. So he got out and got back in, and then I put the car into drive, and he put it back into park. And I remember thinking at that moment, like I'm going to be late for curfew already. My parents will be upset, and they will actually probably come looking for me if I'm not home by curfew. And he was like, quit being such an immature high school girl. And so he was the king of shaming. He constantly shamed me, downgraded me in front of others, made me feel stupid, made me feel immature. And that's very common in abusive relationships, I've discovered. And so I kind of was shamed into that. Obviously, I felt for validation that I was looking for validation in the wrong places, very clearly. And I wasn't walking with the Lord very closely at that time. And so anyway, I gave in. I made out with him for a while, and then one thing kind of led to another. And it wasn't long before he was pressuring me into things I was not comfortable with at all. And I started telling him no, and I started trying to push him off of me. And that was, I already talked about this before, but I was date raped at 17 in the car. I wanted to be a virgin until I got married, and my body, I just had no clue how to deal with that. I was like in shock. And so it was kind of, I really don't remember much after that happened. I do remember pulling up to my house, and my parents were up waiting for me because they always did when I was late. And my mom had said, like, asked me why I was late, and I told her that I blamed it on one of my, he blamed it on one of my friends. He had said that and my eyes were just kind of like glossed over, and I just wasn't myself, and she knew something was wrong, and I didn't even know what to say. And especially when he came up with that excuse, I just kind of went with it too, and my mom knew it was a lie. So I went to bed that night, and I was awake all night, I think. I cried a lot. I felt like I was so damaged because in the church it had been. And so I had kind of in my mind that because this had not happened the way that it was supposed to, I started kind of blaming myself. In thinking that I had done something, or I was no longer worthy, and that God was angry with me. So many emotions I remember just were going through my head. And he actually came into my room that night, like, and gave me a note. And I was just like, it'll never happen. And not trying to almost make it seem like he was so guilty, and he's like, I don't know what I would do without you. Like, you're so out of my league, blah, blah, blah. Almost guilting me into staying with him at that point. And I did stay with him. And I think the more so the reason I stayed with him was because I thought I had to. Because when I had sex, I was determined it was going to be with my husband. I was going to save that for my husband. And so I thought, well, I've had sex with this guy, even though I didn't want to. I'm committed to him now. And that's kind of how I thought in my head. Thank God on just me feeling worthy of anything. I felt like dirt. There was one point where I had went down to Lincoln, Nebraska to see him. And he had taken me out to a party. And I still didn't really, I wasn't a drinker. So I was very uncomfortable. He left me in a group of people. And I ended up just being not knowing what to do or where to go. And a couple of his friends actually befriended me. And that night he actually like left again. And by that point he had slammed me into a wall and thrown me like down on the ground. And he had left bruises on my arm from grabbing me so hard to throw me. And that was when I kind of said, I'm done. Like, this is enough. And I haven't shared this ever before. I went to my brother's house. My brother lived in Lincoln. And such a love to offer anyone. And he made me feel like I didn't deserve anything. He told me I was like disgusting. It was like stupid. And why would anybody want me? No one would ever want me now. And he just degraded me so much to the point where I didn't even want to live anymore. And it's terrifying that we can get to that point in our lives where such a toxic relationship can have that kind of an impact. And so in my life at that point, praise God, I did not find a gun. I ended up calling one of my really good, I'm so thankful for him. I don't know that he knows this, but he came over to just kind of hang out, and he was always such a good friend, and he always made me feel like I was worthy of so much. And I kind of found myself being friends with guys more than girls because I'd been bullied so bad in high school. And so I was really good friends with him. He made me feel like I had something to offer. That guy was scum, which he was. And so I ended up moving on. That being said, I have forgiven. I came to terms with it and recognized that God allows things to happen. God is not able to create anything evil or bad, but he allows things because we live in an evil, sinful world. Because I lived in for so long, I thought to myself, like, why would God let this happen to me? Like, he knew I wanted to be a virgin. Why didn't he stop this? And I just was not aware of God's character. And the more I have grown in my faith, the more I've seen that God loves us so much, that we are his, and that evil things happen because the world is evil. And trying to think of how I want to word this, but God is and so that's where I kind of come to the point where in my story where I knew I needed a change. I knew I was not walking with the Lord as I should be, and I started seeking him again wholeheartedly. And that made all the difference in my life. I mean, this was my undergrad of college. I ended up dating, I feel like, serial dating for quite a while. I was still, I think, so hurt and damaged from all of that that I felt, I hate saying that, but I feel like I had to them convince me I was still worthy, that I wasn't just a piece of crap. And so I made a lot of bad decisions. Definitely will touch on that. I hate saying that because I'm very ashamed of that I knew better and I made those decisions. And that was actually something I also struggled with a lot, was knowing that I knew better and that I was a believer and I still chose to sleep around. But then the more that I was seeking God and I got involved in a church, they had told me, by me feeling guilty after I'd already asked God for forgiveness for this, for making those bad decisions. And I met my husband and rocked my world. I mean, he was the first person that I had dated that was a believer. And let me tell you, and it is so worth it to date and marry a man that loves the Lord. It's 360, I mean, 180. It's so different how you're treated and respected and loved. They love 10 times better, I can tell you that, from my experience. And so I forgot where I was going. I had a point I was going to make. Do you remember what I was just saying?
You were cut.
So there was whatever.
Just a little bit
Oh, it's okay. So I made those bad decisions. I fully regret that. And then the women that I was talking to, so I've asked for forgiveness for this, but I was still feeling so guilty. Like, how could I do that when I knew better? And they made it very clear. It was very powerful. They said, by you thinking that you, with this guilt still on your shoulders about this, when you've already asked for forgiveness and repented, like, that is degrading what Christ did on the cross for you. To me, that was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm doing Jesus a disservice by carrying this guilt that I've already been forgiven of. And so I think a lot of us do, we carry guilt about things that we know we shouldn't have done. But the thing is when you repent and you ask for forgiveness, that's like as far away as the East is from us. How amazing is that? That we don't have to live with our sin, that Christ already paid the cross, like the price on the cross, so that we don't have to live with that. And it's just interesting how I've prayed for so long, God would use me and God would like somehow use this worthless, undeserving, help them maybe draw nearer to Christ. That has always been my goal. And I'm seeing now, even though it's really painful to talk about, I'm not alone. And I think that's one of the biggest lies that we deal with as women, that we are alone, right? And that nobody loves us and that we're not worthy of anything. No one else could understand. No one has been through what we've been through. We have it so much worse. And that's the lie of the devil. We are never alone. First of all, Christ is always with us. But also, there are so many other people who have been through similar things with us. And I think that when I started sharing, so this makeup business, I'll go into that a little bit, because that's kind of where I have any intention of doing it as a business, because I know nothing about business. I'm an occupational therapist, and then I'm a mom. So that was never my intention in starting this. But I love makeup. I've always loved makeup. And I think it's because I've had a disorder for my whole life, right? And so I've loved makeup because it made me feel beautiful. It concealed what I was ashamed of. And so I fell in love with it. I thought, you know what? This is kind of funny that I'm the girl without eyelashes or eyebrows, and I'm going to try and sell mascara and makeup. But I thought, you know what? If I fail... And right. So I started my makeup group, and I initially thought, I want this to be glorifying to God. And so I brainstormed a name for my makeup group that I wanted it to be related to Christ. And so I created, it's called Beautifully Created, because God has created all of us beautifully and in his image. And so I wanted that to be reflected in my makeup group. And so that's what my makeup group is called. It's called Beautifully Created. And, it's about overcoming your flaws and your insecurities and those not just physical attributes, like those emotional feelings of unworthy and all of that. Because so many of us have so many, and say from example, I was terrified to even put myself out there. As I, the Lord blessed the business. It is clearly not me. I'm not worthy. I'm undeserving, but God has absolutely blessed this business. I now have about 350 women on my team. I have grown to the point where I've been able to, for the first time in my life, as in the beginning of this year, share my story about not only about my trichotillomania, which has been a huge thing for me for my whole life, also about the sexual abuse. And it was insane how God just blessed that as well. It was a lot easier for me to talk about it this time. It must get easier the more I talk about it. God has really blessed that by that I joined. How sweet that God brought me into that company. I had no idea, and it's been so healing for me. And by the time I finally was able to share my story, a lot of women messaged me. I have probably 50 messages in my inbox after I shared my story of sexual abuse or trichotillomania of women that have been sexually abused. And the statistic is 1 in 4. 1 in 4 people are, 1 in 4 women alone are sexually abused by the time that they're 18. And it's just devastating. There's the Me Too campaign going on right now. And I mean, my page was just filled. And it's been, there's 4 days to apply for this retreat. You just have to pay for your transportation to get out there. And I've gotten messages from a few of the girls that they have been accepted into the Y Foundation to start healing. And that's like, that is totally my goal in this. And just, I hope that not only that they are able to get healing from that kind of thing, but also find Christ. Because that's the only way that true healing can happen is through Christ. And so I'm just so thankful for how God has used everything painful and his, that I can just be a living light for him. So yeah, I don't know.
I think there was a little bit of a delay. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry I wasn't able to chime in earlier. I think there's a delay on the phone just a little bit for you to hear me, but you can hear me, right? So just wanted to thank you so much for myself relate to you so much, just my background growing up. You know, I was in a long-term relationship that wasn't healthy as well, and like the right choices either. And I feel like so many women have a past or a background where they, you know, if you don't know your worth or your value in Christ, and you're seeking validation from men because you want to feel loved and beautiful and accepted for whatever reason that you have gone through in the past, I feel, you know, so many women have gone through that. And I can't thank you enough for being so brave and sharing with our viewers, you know, with the disorder with your eyebrows and how you sought healing through that, because it wasn't healthy. And in that course of time, you know, where I was as I grew up, and I loved Jesus when I was little, and we would go to church up until junior high. But when we stopped going to church in junior high, I had a period of time from junior high to college where I wasn't going to church. And, you know, I tell people that it wasn't like I woke up one day and said, you know, Jesus isn't the Son of God and he didn't die on the cross for my sins. I just, in that moment, wanted to be popular and liked and accepted around my peers. So I put this crutch that I've ever had growing up is I thought, well, if I give my whole heart to Christ and I trust him with my whole heart, then I'm going to live a life that I don't really want. Like, he's going to make me do something or have a life that's going to be boring or weird, or like, I just bought into that God didn't have special plans for my life. So I felt like I had to create plans because I thought that I wasn't going to like what he had for me. And that was a lie that I felt like distanced me from him. They are still good. I'm not sure if we lost her, but I'm just going to keep talking and then if she can come back. But a little bit about what Heather was talking about was we go through situations in life when we're little and we are seeking... oh, she wants to come back. Let me see if I could get Heather back, guys. I'm sorry about this. We are trying to get through some. Okay. I'm just going to keep going, and then if we are able to bring Heather back on, I really hope we can. What Heather was just sharing about earlier was, you know, growing up, if we do not know our worth and value in Christ, if we don't know what God talks about in His Bible of that we are made in His image, that we are loved, that we are called, that we are equipped, that we were made with a special purpose, we are going to be walking around in life trying to fill a void that only Christ can fill. So we are going to look through that. It could be emotional eating. It could be thing that satisfies your flesh, that satisfies your heart, that just makes you feel for a brief moment this satisfaction. But what the Bible talks about is that the heart cannot be satisfied. You were created with a hole in your heart that only Jesus can satisfy. So what I found in my previous, relationships or just background in my past, I was always looking for validation. For men, I was just looking to feel loved or accepted or wanted. But what I did in those moments is that I would lower my standards and I would lower my morale. I would just lower swimming in sin. You almost feel like you're stuck in it. I explain to people that it almost feels like you're in quicksand. It feels like you're so weak in your weaknesses that you don't have the strength to get out. Like you don't know how to overcome whatever it is you want to overcome. And that's where God has played such an enormous part in my life. And when Heather was talking in her life is there came a point in college where I felt like I hit rock bottom. And I remember I was driving home one day and both my arms couldn't fill my own arms, and I thought that I was having a heart attack. I didn't know if the stress got to me that I was, that was it. That was going to be my last day on earth from God, from panic attacks and anxiety. And, I know Heather was talking about previously when she was on that she would just feel worthless because of the relationship she was in. She was feeding into the lies of what someone else was telling her who she was. And I think that if we don't have a relationship with Christ, we're always going to be believing the lies that someone else is telling us. So if someone told you that you're not wanted or that you're worthless or that you're stupid, that you're never going to amount to anything, that you're, you know, fat or disgusting or whatever it is, like if someone's always looking at you saying, you know what your problem is, like this is your problem, and just kind of beating you over the head. I think the word of God, I wasn't living, I wasn't walking with Him. I wasn't living close to Him because I went off and I did my own thing and I felt so far from God. And I remember when I rededicated my heart to the Lord and I picked up the and put in His heart and put in His strength and His love. And, you know, it's a journey. I know what Heather was talking and sharing with us earlier. It was a journey for her to overcome a lot of those traumatic experiences of you know, her sexual abuse, the disorder, her eyelashes had fallen out. You know, it's a journey when you accept Christ into your life and into your heart. There's a healing and there's a process that takes place in your heart. But now this time, you're not alone. And, when you read God's word and you read about who Jesus is, it's showing you that no matter what you face, that Jesus is stepping into the boat with you. He's stepping into your trouble. He's stepping into your tribulation or your obstacle. So now this time you have Him by your side to help you overcome and face those challenges. Before I end tonight's show, I'm hoping that we could get Heather back on, but it doesn't look like I'm able to add her. I'm not sure why. Oh, shoot. Okay. Can't add. She's pending right now. I'm hoping we can get her back before we end this show tonight. Yay, you're back!
No idea what happened.
I'm not sure what happened.
Well, my mom called and it kicked me off. And I was like, what? So I tried to get back on and it wouldn't let me even offer it. And then you invited me back and I'm back. So sorry.
That's okay. I was just kind of sharing my little bit of my testimony in relation to what you went through because, you know, when we were talking about women feeling alone, I know that me and you had a conversation on the phone last night about how we, can say that briefly, our natural response as human beings is self-preservation. So if we make a mistake, if we sin, if we fall into temptation, we will naturally hide. You know, just like Adam and Eve, when they ate the apple and they knew that that was wrong and they weren't supposed to, the first thing that they did is they hid from God. But right. God, loving and merciful as he is, knows that we're hiding because he sees us. And so instead of going and shaming Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? Vice right then and there in the garden and clothed them with animal skins, which is really a parallel to when Jesus in the New Testament comes, he is our sacrifice. So that was a picture of it. But what I was sharing with Heather last night on the phone is just a little picture that God had given me. It's a while back, you know, I always run with my dog. I'm a very active and fit person. So we'll go on some long walks or runs and we're on these journeys. And we had like a little fallout where we biffed it pretty hardcore on the cement. And I remember I scuffed up my knee and my hand pretty bad. And growing up as a tomboy, I was like, it's fine. I just knew it was probably on like close to 24 hours before I would switch the Band-Aid. And a friend of mine who's a registered nurse one day said, you've been wearing that Band-Aid kind of long. Let me look at your cut. And we're in church and I take my Band-Aid off my hand. She's like, Jacqueline, your hand's very infected. Like you're going to need me to help you. Like you, I don't know what you were doing. I was kind of embarrassed. Like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know. I thought that's, you know, in my mind, I thought I was protecting myself by just keeping a band. And I'm all better now. But in that process, God was just teaching me that anytime we keep something hidden in our heart, our natural response is, oh, I want to heal and protect myself. I'm going to do my fleshly nature is to preserve myself. The enemy will come into your mind and start whispering lies about whatever it is that you're hiding to heap shame on you and guilt. And he'll start whispering lies that you are a loser and that you're worthless because he would do that to me countless of times. And I remember just crying one day, you know, broken. And I just didn't know, even at that moment, you know, how God was going to piece me back together because I felt so lost. And when I rededicated my heart to Christ and I gave Jesus all of my hurts and all of my pains, that is when the healing began. So just like with my hand that was hidden in that Band-Aid, as soon as we expose whatever it is in our hearts that we feel ashamed or broken about, that's when the light is going to come in and it's going to breathe healing and give us, you know, all the nutrients and the light and everything it needs scientifically and both spiritually to be healed. And so I feel like as women, when we are encouraging one another and we are inspiring one another and speaking about some of these topics that you have talked about tonight of our brokenness and how Christ has forgiven us and made us free, it gives other women the braveness to open up and share. And so I just can't thank you enough for being so real and transparent with everybody on multiple levels of the.
It was God. He's giving me the strength. I don't like sharing that kind of stuff for sure. It like makes me sweat. But I have also seen how God doesn't make mistakes and everything happens for a reason. And it's up to us to use it for good. And so thank you so much for allowing across ones.
Have ever done live video before. No matter what the show is happening tonight, I did it. Bio on my personal blog, and on that page, you'll be able to click and listen from beginning to end. You'll hear everything that we talked about tonight, and you are able to find that on www.jaclynicole.com. That's jaclynicole.com. And on there, we will have access to the Facebook Live video. We'll have access to the full podcast. You will be able to connect with me or Heather on social media sites that she does. If you're interested in contacting her about makeup or beauty tips, she is so good at that. Anything.
Or the foundation. The Y Foundation for girl.
Absolutely. How long do you women have to sign up for that retreat that you're talking about?
Oh, it's an ongoing thing. That's why they created the makeup business portion of it. So it's okay. To fund that. So they can, they have to fill out a form, an application, and then they have to send that in, and then Unique will approve it. And then you'll have to figure out a date to go out there, because there's tons of dates. I think they said that they can fund, I think, a time urgent. It seems the quicker they will get in. So they just have to fill out that form, and I can put that form attached or that link also in the blog for you. If anyone wants to apply to that. So.
Yes, absolutely. And if anyone,
thanks, Chelsea.
If anyone listening to this, wanted to reach out to me or Heather and, you know, share your story or ask for a prayer or anything that you need, I just want you to know that you're not alone, that we are here for you. And if you need any pointers on anything, we're going to be ending tonight's show. I know we went a little over an hour, but there were so many little hiccups. So we just wanted to make sure we had enough time to cover all of our bases tonight. And I want to thank you so much, Heather, for taking the time out of your busy, precious, amazing life with your husband and sweet kids to share your story again tonight with us.
So honored. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We just wish everyone a blessed night, and we are looking forward to hearing from you guys soon.
Oh, good. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Thank you.